You are listening to The Becca Cook Show with your host, Becca Cook. For more information about Beckett and his ministry, visit his website at beckettcook.com. To help support the podcast, visit patreon.com/TheBeckettCookShow. Please consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving a 5-star rating.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. Today, I want to talk about a letter that I just discovered 2 days ago that my mother wrote to God regarding me. But first, a word from our sponsor. And so my sister-in-law in Dallas, she has a box of my mother's stuff. And my mother went to be with the Lord in 2016. So 7 years ago, almost to the day, she went to be with the Lord. And my father went to be with the Lord 6 months before her. And so my sister-in-law sent me this letter that my mother wrote. I had no idea that my mother was even doing any of this. Praying for me, the way she was praying for me was stunning. When I read the letter the other day, I mean, I couldn't stop crying. I was just like bawling and bawling and bawling. I couldn't believe. Before I read the letter, this is the letter. This is the kind of, she typed up a letter to God, basically. And this was, the title of the letter is A Prayer for Beckett. And I had no idea this was even really something that she was doing consistently or even doing, because when she first found out that I identified as gay, when I came back from Tokyo in 1992, I think it was, or 93, she had found out while I was in Japan. And then I came back and I've talked about this before, but I walked into the kitchen the night I got back and she was sitting at the kitchen table and she started crying. And I was like, "Mom, what's wrong?" And she said, "I know you're homosexual and blah, blah, blah." And we kind of talked briefly about it. I told her it was no big deal, that it was just, "Don't worry about me, Mom. Like, it's not a big deal. This is who I am." And that was the end of it. We never talked about it again. And over the years, my mother and I were very close, almost to a fault. But we were very close. And we talked on the phone when I was living in LA, she was living in Dallas. So we talked on the phone sometimes every night, but at least a couple times a week. We just talked a lot. And she never once, after that initial kind of breakdown she had, she never once mentioned homosexuality again to me. Never. She never talked about, she never said, "Beckett, I'm praying for you," or, "Beckett, I'm worried about you," and, or, "Beckett, you should really read the Bible and look at these scriptures." She never did that. And instead, she just prayed privately, because again, if I knew that my mother was praying for me, I would have been offended by that, because I would have felt like she was praying against who I was, quote unquote. And so I don't know if she even knew that, but instead of sort of berating me over the years, or kind of badgering me or trying to bludgeon me into the kingdom, she just quietly prayed. This prayer is like insane. It's so amazing. I urge all parents who are dealing with this, or grandparents or family members, to do something like this. Cause it, not only did she do this, but God answered her prayer. So I'm going to go through what she wrote line by line and kind of break it down. And what happened, what was happening in my life at the time, and just kind of some more insight into this. So again, the title is A Prayer for Beckett. And the first line says that she typed is, deal aggressively with the enemy, come against him. So she's asking God to do this. Deal aggressively with the enemy, come against him in the all-powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. So my mother immediately, she knows that this is a spiritual battle. And this is not just, this is like this, the homosexuality, this whole kind of LGBTQ stuff is all a spiritual battle. And she knew that. And Paul knew that as well. I mean, Paul the Apostle, he said, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So my mother knew that this is a spiritual battle and it needed to be won in the spiritual realm. And she goes on and she says, she quotes James chapter 4, verse 7, quote, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then she starts to quote other scriptures, and she quotes when Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness by Satan. She quotes Luke chapter 4, verse 8. In Luke chapter 4, it says, the devil took Jesus up, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. And if you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And that's what my mother wrote. She just wrote, that one verse, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him alone. And so I think maybe she was thinking of me being in Hollywood and kind of like Satan or the devil tempting me to kind of like have all the, you know, be enticed by this world. And just like he was trying to entice Jesus to have all the kingdoms of the world. So I think that's why she was praying this verse over me. You must worship the Lord your God and serve him alone. And then she quotes Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. She says, she quotes Deuteronomy, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And so she quotes Deuteronomy 6. And I guess she did that. Yeah, I guess she just, you know, wanted me to know that the Lord is one, and that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, your soul, and your might. And she wanted that for me. She wanted me to worship God instead of worshiping this world. And then she says, and then there's another section, and the title of this section is Be removed in the all-powerful name of Jesus Christ. Number one. There's four things she types. So the title is Be Removed in the All-Powerful Name of Jesus Christ. Number one, spirit of homosexuality. And again, I believe that is a spirit. It's this kind of demonic spirit. And so number one, she's praying against the spirit of homosexuality. Number two, the desire for homosexuality. So she's praying that my desires will change. We'll be right back after this short break. And number three, denial of his, she's praying, oh, denial of his heterosexuality. I think she's praying that I would stop denying my heterosexuality. And number four, she says, remove all the blocks of the truth. So basically remove any stumbling blocks from me from coming to the truth, coming to Christ, who is the truth. And so those were the four points she made. And then she says, and then she goes on to say, we bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Beckett belongs to Christ. And this is where it gets emotional, because it's crazy that she says Beckett belongs to Christ, and then she quotes Matthew chapter 4. And in Matthew chapter 4, again, it's Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. And it says, then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And so she quotes that from Luke. And that's kind of like a repeat of the Deuteronomy verse, kind of the general idea. And then she goes on to this other section, another section. It says, in your tender mercy, Holy Spirit of God Almighty, give him, and then she lists 13 things. She says, so again, it's in your tender mercy, Holy Spirit of God Almighty, give Beckett, number one, right Christian psychologists or doctors. So I think she wanted me to go to a Christian counselor or therapy for homosexuality, which is stunning. And then she says, number two, a deep desire for God. Number three, attraction to women. Number four, desire for a family and wife. Number five, a change of heart. That's crazy, because my book is A Change of Affection. A change of heart. And then she quotes Ezekiel. She says, take away his heart of stone and give him a heart of flesh. That's Ezekiel 36:26. Number six, bring a girl into his path. It's amazing. I didn't even know she was even thinking about me in these terms. I really didn't. And then she says, number seven, merciful Lord, protect and guide him in every moment of every day. Number eight. Now, this is really crazy that she prayed number eight, because I'll tell you a story about this. She said, protect him from AIDS, from HIV. Now, I always felt like, after I got saved 13 years ago, I felt like God had his hand on me regarding the issue of HIV or AIDS, because there was this one time I was in a relationship with a guy, let's call him Joe. So I was in a relationship with Joe for 2 years. This was in like 1997 through 99. And we lived together and in LA, and we never once asked each other, you know, hey, are you HIV positive or negative? We never had that discussion. So we just, you know, quote, fell madly in love with each other. And about a year into our relationship, Joe comes home to our house and he said, oh, today I was on Santa Monica Boulevard and there was like a truck, an HIV testing truck. And I got tested for HIV. And I was like, oh my gosh. And because just the idea that he even got tested made me really nervous about like what the result was going to be, because we'd never talked about it. And so that was back in the day when it took a week to get your results back. And so, so I was kind of anxious the whole week. And a week went by and I said, Joe, like, you should probably go get your results, right, for your test. And he was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. And so we went, he left our house and went to get his results. And he was only supposed to be gone for like 30 minutes. It was just like down the hill in West Hollywood. And, but 30 minutes goes by, an hour goes by, 2 hours go by, 3 hours go by, 4 hours go by. And I'm like, what is going on? And this was before he didn't have a cell phone at that time. And I don't think I had a cell phone. I had a home line. And, he finally, I get a call from Joe and he says, Beck, I'm positive. And I'm like, what? And I was so traumatized by that. And he came home immediately. And when I saw him, we both just started bawling and bawling and bawling. And I was convinced, I was 100% sure that I was HIV positive as well, because there was no natural way to explain that I wouldn't have been. I'm not going to get into the details, but there's no way that I couldn't have been positive. So I knew, I just was like, this is, and I remember crying, we were crying, and I said, how am I going to tell my mother? That was my first thought. Like, how am I going to tell my mother? And so, the next, so I was just convinced, I just was convinced that I was positive. And the next day I went down the hill. We went to this clinic in West Hollywood and I got tested and I told the guy, the counselor there, the guy, I told him the circumstances and he basically said, yeah, you probably have it. And I was like, great. And again, I had to wait a week to get my results. And it was just the worst week of my life. I was just like so devastated. And again, back in those days, HIV was still pretty much a death sentence. If not a death sentence, then it was just kind of like a really bad, you know, health life issues, you know, you were going to basically have bad, terrible problems with your health for the rest of your life. So it was a really scary time. And then a week goes by and I go to the clinic, Joe and I go together to the clinic. It's actually right across the street here. And I walk in and the counselor, he's like, come into my office. And I'm just like, I was just like in a panic and I sit down and he takes an extra long time to tell. He's like, he's going through, you know, his papers and I'm just like, can you just please tell me? And he finally says, so, you're negative. And I was like, what? He said, yeah. He's like, I'm surprised, but you're negative. And I was like, wow, like that's amazing. And then my relationship with Joe went downhill after that because it was like this, he was positive, I was negative. And it was like, there was this tension because of that, a major tension. And so it was just a complete miracle that I never got HIV. Like I never got it in my life. And there were so many other kind of dangerous moments, but like the fact that God kind of protected me. I mean, this is why, because my mother prayed, protect him from AIDS. Like, I didn't even know my mother was even thinking about that. I didn't even know she fully even knew what AIDS was. Like the fact that she prayed this is just like stunning to me. And again, when I got saved, I just was like, God totally protected me. I don't know how or why. Like I had some crazy supernatural immunity to this disease. And it's because of prayer. And then number 9, she says, lead him to a conversion experience. Well, she got that one. I had a, you know, as you know, my conversion experience was so major. It was like a road to Damascus experience. And so I definitely had the that prayer was answered. Number 10, give him knowledge that homosexuality is physically dangerous and does not come from birth, but is a serious wrongdoing. Yeah. And again, I didn't even know she was even thinking about if, you know, just like how someone becomes homosexual, like born gay or I didn't even think that was on her radar. My mother was so, I love this letter because it's such, her faith was so, she was such a powerful intercessor and a prayer warrior, but she was so childlike in her faith. And I know that when she was typing these things, I know that she totally believed them. That she, I know that she never doubted that God was going to answer this. That's how just childlike my mother's faith was. And then she goes on to number 11, let him live and sing your praises. And she has the word live underlined and sing underlined. I told you this was, this is going to be emotional. But like, I mean, what are the chances? Like, I mean, I'm literally living and singing God's praises now. That's all I do. That's all I want to do. And that came true. God answered this prayer. Number 12, she says, lead him to the work of your choice. And so, yeah, God, you know, God led me into production design for many, many years, but then, you know, now it's into ministry. So, she prayed for my vocation basically. And number 13, give him anything else you see he needs, sweet Lord. She goes on in the letter to, she says, we pray this prayer according to Philippians 4:6-7. And Philippians 4:6-7, she doesn't have it typed out, but it's, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then underneath this, she has A, B, and C. A, we pray these petitions. B, we ask for your mercy, even though we don't deserve it, as we look over our lives. Yeah, she understood that mercy was not deserved. His grace was not deserved. So again, we ask for your mercy, even though we don't deserve it, as we look over our lives. C, the letter C, she says, we thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer. So do you see, she's already thanking the Lord because she knows he's hearing this prayer and she's confident. I know my mother and she's confident that he's going to answer. Oh my gosh. Sorry. This is such a beautiful prayer and it just kills me. And I'm not finished yet. I'm almost done. But my mother, of course, got to see that this all came true, that God answered all these prayers because I got saved in 2009 and she was alive until 2016. So she was so just over the moon, so happy that God answered all these prayers. But what was interesting about it, when I told her that I was a Christian, that I had this major conversion experience, got saved, was no longer living as a homosexual. Like that was not my identity. That was gone. I mean, I told her everything. And she, what's fascinating about that is at the time it was curious because she didn't seem to be that surprised. It was almost like, she was like, yeah, okay, great. I love you. Like she just kind of assumed it was going to happen. And I'm telling you, this prayer is like, this prayer is so her. And it's the fact that she just typed this up and just, I know that she believed it was going to happen. I know my mother, like I know that she 100% believed that all of this was going to happen. Okay, so the final thing she says is just, I can't even believe it. This kind of sums up what I was saying in the beginning about how she never badgered me about being quote unquote gay. It says, P.S. It's very possible that when each of us really accepts, not just tolerates, Beckett and his friends in our hearts, he will turn to the Lord. Pray for this grace. So I was always, confused that because when I had boyfriends, I would talk to my mother sometimes about my boyfriends. I mean, I would mention Joe to my mom. She knew I was living with the guy. I mean, she knew I was in all my boyfriends. When I lived in Rome, she knew that I was dating an Italian guy. She knew. But I love that she says, it's very possible that when each of us really accepts, not just tolerates Beckett and his friends in our hearts, he will turn to the Lord. I mean, she knew that loving me and loving my friends was, in other words, she wasn't under this misapprehension that she had to kind of be distant from my boyfriends or be mean to them or be rude to them or hate them. Or she knew that my family needed to accept me, not just tolerate me, but accept me and my friends into their hearts. And so my mother, even when I would mention boyfriends to her and talk about, you know, just stuff that was going on, she was just so loving about it. She never said, you know, oh, well, I don't want to hear that. You know, don't tell me about that. I don't want to hear that part of your life. You know, I don't know. Honestly, I doubt she, you know, if I ended up ever getting married to a guy, like, I don't think she would come to the wedding, but I really don't know. Actually, I've never talked to her about that. But I love that she knew that, because again, I already knew my whole life. I knew where my mother stood on this issue. I knew that she believed homosexual behavior was a sin. I knew it 100%. So there was no need for her to ever repeat that to me. Like, I didn't need to be reminded of that. I didn't forget that, you know? And so I love that she knew that, she just needed to love me and love my friends and including my boyfriends. And she was, I think she was praying that for my other siblings as well. And for my father to quote, really accept, not just tolerate Beckett and his friends in our hearts. I don't know. I mean, I read this prayer and I think it's pretty much perfect. I think it's the perfect prayer to God, if you're a parent or a family member who is dealing with a gay or lesbian or trans child, like, this is powerful stuff. And God listens to these kinds of prayers. God listens to prayer and he hears us. And again, you know, it's easy to fall into our flesh and want to control the situation and want to manipulate the situation and try to control every aspect and keep sending our son, you know, Bible verses or books or this or that or videos. But it's just, it's all about prayer. I think Christopher Yuan, I think his mother was the same way. She just went into her prayer closet and prayed, you know, 5 hours a day or whatever it was. Anyway, I'm not saying this is exactly how every person should pray for their prodigal, but this is, I think, a good outline to pray. And yeah, again, just God's protection over my life over all those years of just being in such crazy in LA, just in crazy, dangerous situations. All the, you know, it's just God protected me and had his hand over me the whole time. And there's nothing like a mother's prayer. I think of Augustine and his mother, Monica, who just prayed and prayed for him. My mother was a Monica. And so I hope that helped you. It really blew my mind. I'm still just, I mean, I just want to read this letter every morning when I wake up, just to have a reminder of the power of prayer and where I was and where I am now, thanks to the prayers of my mother and other family members. And so I hope that helped you guys. And yeah, thank you for bearing with me during this, but I will see you next week. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Beckett Cook Show. Your support makes this content possible. All episodes of The Beckett Cook Show are also available on YouTube. For more information about Beckett and his ministry, visit his website at beckettcook.com.
Thank you to the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find more faith-centered podcasts about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
Have you ever considered yourself a messenger? I mean, you are called by God, and aren't we all praying the big prayer, "Here I am, Lord, send me"? So if we put two and two together, you've got a message to deliver, my friend. Whether it's mics like this, bookshelves around the world, stages to take, art to make, or businesses to build, it's time we start testifying truth unashamedly, creatively, and in love. My name is Tamara Andress, the host of the Messenger Movement podcast, which is designed to catalyze Christians to speak, write, build, and testify. I use my mic like a machete, so if you don't like to get your toes stepped on or pushed off cliffs to finally jump on in with Jesus, I may be too much for you. But if you're ready to turn your message into a movement and want to run with other messengers doing the thing at scale globally, search and follow the Messenger Movement podcast on your favorite podcast platform or lifeaudio.com today.